Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable Season Preview Edition. I am here with Ethan Carter for the St. Louis Blues. I'm, of course, your host, Matthew Zator, and we are continuing through the NHL teams. We're up to the Blues, and Ethan, thanks for coming on the show to preview for the next upcoming season. How's it going?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, the Blues they kind of blew it up around the deadline. They traded a few veterans away, added a few young guys, and a couple guys that actually played pretty well after the trade deadline in Kasperi Kapanen. And they reacquired Sammy Blaze, and he played really well as well. So lots of good pieces that came back and actually performed. So, I mean, it was an interesting end of the season for the Blues. And now they kind of look like they could bounce back coming into this season. Of course, didn't make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. So let's get moving and start talking about a couple of the new additions that came in the offseason. Again, not many, but they did acquire Kevin Hayes. So let's start with him. What do you see him coming in providing the Blues? He's kind of looking like the second line center or maybe third line. According to Cap Friendly, he's on the second line, but I would think Braden Schenn would be your second line center. But what do you feel Hayes will bring to the team?
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing in acquiring Kevin Hayes was the idea that you could get him for essentially nothing. I mean, the Flyers retained half of his cap hit. I think it's kind of going to be a toss-up between him and Braden Schenn as to who starts the season as the second-line center. I think Berube likes the idea of maybe having Schenn play on the wing if he has to. I don't know who your third-line center is in that scenario. But Kevin Hayes, I mean, I think getting him out of Philadelphia is good. Didn't seem like it was going well for him with Tortorella. I think that was pretty well-documented. And my thoughts on acquiring Kevin Hayes was always, okay, I don't love it in the sense that you're trying to kind of get younger and he's 30 years old, but if you're going to get him for nothing, I think you do it. And they did it. And I think, you know, it's a change of scenery for him. We'll see who he ends up playing with on a line to start the season. But I think overall, you know, you pretty much gave up nothing for a guy that could score you 20, 25 goals. And I think that it was the right move to make. And I think the Blues were kind of limited in what they could do, given the fact that a lot of free agency this year wasn't really a fit for them. They didn't have a ton of salary cap space to work with. They didn't have a lot of guys that, you know, you could see fitting there. I think there was always a chance that maybe Ryan O'Reilly came back, but obviously they weren't going to do what Nashville did for him in that deal. So they went the Hayes route. Obviously it seemed like the deal was going to be a bigger deal at the time, but then Torrey Crew kind of blew that up. And, you know, I think the Hayes move makes sense because they didn't really give up much to get him.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Blues are doing that a lot, you know, getting guys change of scenery, hoping that they can bounce back and become the players they were. Kapanen was one. Jakub Vrána was ridiculously good after the deadline, and we'll see what he can do. But another guy they added or reacquired, I guess, Oscar Sundquist, was with the Blues before they traded him away to the Detroit Red Wings. Played pretty well there. What do you think he'll bring? I mean, probably going to be in the bottom six, third, fourth line, but how do you feel about reacquiring him?
Yeah, that was one that going into the offseason, I think a lot of people kind of went over to the side of, okay, they could bring back Ryan O'Reilly, but I think a lot of Blues fans in the back of their head were like, the Sundquist thing could happen because he loved it here. Berube loves him. I think Doug Armstrong loved him. He didn't look the same after the ACL injury a couple years ago. He played a little bit for the Blues in 2021-22 before they traded him to Detroit, and it just wasn't really the same. Gave him a change of scenery in Detroit. I think he played pretty well in Minnesota as well towards the end of last season. Mm-hmm. And you get him for under $1 million. I think that's probably a steal value-wise, and see if he can bring back some of what he did in his couple years before getting injured with the Blues. I think he's probably your fourth-line center. I think there's a chance that you see Nikita Alexandrov push his way in there. It'd probably be between those two for that spot. But I think maybe it's a good problem to have that the Blues have maybe 14 or 15 forwards that could start in that. I think there's probably 9 locked in right now, maybe 10. If you want to count Jake Neighbors and Alexei Toropchenko together, that would be 10 guys that could be ready to play in the lineup on opening night. And I think Sundquist will eventually be one of those guys, but I don't think you're going to see him playing all 82. I think we'll see what happens. The way he plays, it's not really a way that you can stay healthy for 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, it's really good value, and you're taking a chance on a guy you know. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, like they already did with Sammy Blaze, and that worked out. He's mm-hmm. coming into this season on a very cheap $1 million as well. I mean, and he played really well at the end of the season. Yeah, there's storylines, question marks you got in the lineup for this forward group before we move on to the defense.
Well, I think one thing the Blues are going to have to do is find different lines that can work, because you have a sure thing, I think, with whatever you do with Robert Thomas or Pavel Buchnevich, that those guys are going to produce. And Jordan Kyrie is probably in that same category. You got to find a good spot for Sammy Blais, because Sammy Blais last season had 20 points in 31 games. We haven't seen him score at that pace at all in his NHL career. He carried that on to the summer and played well for Canada in the World Championships. So you're going to have to find a good role for him. I hope it's not on the fourth line. I think it could be. I think it's probably going to be between him and Jake Neighbors as to who plays on that third line and gets a winger spot there. Another storyline, I think, is what do they get out of Kapanen and Vrana after those guys played well down the stretch last season, as you alluded to earlier. They got to find a spot for them. I would think that you give Vrana a chance to play with Robert Thomas in that top line at some point in the season. I don't know if it's right away. And then I think it's a lot of what you get from some of the younger guys, whether it's Jake Neighbors or Nikita Alexandrov or Alexei Toropchenko. But they're going to need to score more goals. This is a team that 2 years ago, when they made the playoffs and lost in the second round to Colorado, had 920 goal scorers. They scored, I believe, over 300 goals that season. And that number went way down last season. And part of that was Tarasenko not producing the way he had. O'Reilly wasn't producing the way he had. Thomas scored a couple less goals than he did the year prior. Brandon Saad's another guy that's got to score more. So I think a lot of the storylines and things to watch for the Blues offense is scoring more goals. And they need that to happen. They need a couple guys that can get 30 plus. I think that's going to be Buchnevich and Kyrie. I think both of those guys can threaten for 40. So they need to score more. It's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few guys that could potentially do it. Like Vrana could. I mean, he's got the skill and looked like he fit in really well. So could be a guy that does it. It's going to be interesting to watch this forward group, see how it goes in training camp, how it meshes at the beginning of the season as well. All right, moving on to the defense, and this is a really high-priced decor. I mean, you got four guys making $4 million plus, three of them at 6.5. None of them were moved in the offseason. So what do you see with this defense going into the season? Do you foresee a move coming, or are they just going to go with this high-priced group?
Yeah, this is the tough spot that they're in. And I think you have to have good value in your forward group when your D is this overpaid. I think it's just that simple. You have Krug at 6.5. You have Parayko at 6.5. You have Falk at 6.5. You have Leddy at 4. You have Scandella at 3.275. I don't think there's going to be any trades before the season, but I don't think that all of those higher priced guys are going to play. And I'm kind of looking at Scandella when I say that. I'm not sure that he's going to play. I think training camp will see. But you're pretty much banking on Mike Weber, who's coming in and taking an assistant coaching role with the Blues, taking over for Mike Van Ryan, who ran the defense for the last couple of years. You got to get better, and you got to hope that changing structure, changing a couple things around can help that. I still think the personnel is quite questionable. But I think a lot of it's going to be the pairings that they put together. I think they kind of learned the hard way of how hard it can be to trade these guys, especially when you give them no trade clauses.
Yeah.
You learned that with Krug. And I'm not sure that they were going to get anything that they thought they could get for Parayko and Leddy and Scandella. I mean, I don't think the Blues are a team that wants to have to give up assets to get rid of a contract, at least like high priced, giving up a second round pick to move a contract. I don't think the Blues are going to do that. I don't think it's smart to do that either in some cases, but yeah, this is the part of the team that's going to be probably this or goaltending is the determining factor, whether they can bounce back or not. And I think you're going to have to see a mix of some of the young guys get a chance. I mean, Scott Perunovic hasn't stayed healthy, but he's a guy that should get a chance to start the season. I would say Tyler Tucker kind of earned his way last year as well to have a chance. I thought Callie Rosen had a really, really good season. There's just if you could have 8 D-men in your lineup, the Blues would be thrilled. Even though they don't have a good unit, there's so many guys that have either – there's a lot of guys that earned it out, like – Cali Rosen was a way better defenseman last year than any of the other Blues left-handed D-men. So I don't know what you do there. He's obviously making like $860,000 this year, I believe. So they're going to have to evaluate a lot during training camp and the preseason to figure out, because I think there's really only probably four guys in that I would guarantee will be in the lineup on opening night, and that is the four higher paid guys, Parayko, Falk, Krug, and Leddy. You got to find those last two spots. I lean right now towards it probably being two lefties with Perunovic and Scandella, or Perunovic and Rosen. So they got a lot to figure out, and a lot of it's just kind of waiting and see and hope that whatever changes Mike Weber makes will work, because this is a unit that you can, you know, win games with. Like 2 years ago, they weren't very good either, and they won a lot of games. So that's why I said earlier, goal scoring matters so much, because they have to outscore these mistakes. And obviously you want to make less mistakes, and hopefully they can this year, but the personnel is not great.
Yeah. And like you said, overpaid. So yeah. It's going to be that's going to be a big X factor, I think, going into the season for sure. All right. Moving on to goaltending, right? You kind of alluded to it too. Returning Jordan Binnington as the starter, new backup, young guy that's been in the system, in Joel Hofer, 23 years old. Do you see this tandem as being good enough to bring the Blues back to the playoffs, or do they need to do something differently here?
Yeah. You know, I think that this is what they have to do. I do think a lot of it's going to be based on whether Hofer can be a guy that pushes Binnington, or, you know, kind of what Villahuso did 2 years ago is what you're going to need from Joel Hofer. And, you know, his first three games last season were really good. He had a 959 in his first three games last season. Obviously, it's hard to do that with how bad the Blues D was in front of the goal thing last year, which is why part of the thing with Binnington is his numbers have been really bad the last 2 years. I think a lot of that is how bad the D is in front of him, but I also think a lot of it's his play has fallen off, and that's just what the goaltending position is. It's very rare that you're going to see, you know, superstar like the Vasilevskis of the world, when Carey Price was in, like those guys are rare, the guys that can be great every single year. And, you know, obviously the Blues won a cup with Binnington. They gave him an extension, so they're kind of stuck with him for however long this goes on. And, you know, we'll see what happens this year. But the biggest thing is going to be, number one, will the D in front of them be better? Number two, can Hofer push Binnington to the point where he is maybe scared that he's not going to be the starter? And number three, can those guys just be, at least Binnington, can he just be a better goaltender than he's been the last 2 years? Because I would say in the playoffs in 2022, when they lost to Colorado in round two, before he went down with the whole Nazem Kadri thing where he got injured, he looked really good.
Yeah.
And last season was not good. The Blues D defense was about as bad as it could be last season. So there's a ton of question marks with that, but a lot of it, I mean, I would think Hofer is going to be more valuable than Thomas Greiss. I'll leave it at that.
I agree. I mean, this is a guy that's up and coming. So if he can at least push Binnington to be better and to, you know, want to keep the crease, then that's a good thing. So we'll see how it all goes. All right, we've looked at all three position groups. Let's talk about how they stack up in this division now. I mean, the Central Division got better, and there are some question marks with some teams like the Winnipeg Jets. Don't know what they're going to do with their new additions and everything that's kind of going on over in Winnipeg. You know, they still got the big teams at the top. You've still got the lower teams, Chicago and Arizona, but they're not going to be easy to beat as well with their changes that they did in the offseason. So where do the Blues stack in this division and in the rest of the Western Conference?
Yeah, the division's interesting because I think, you know, Colorado is going to be good. Dallas is going to be good. I think that's pretty much a given at this point. But after that, I think that's where the Blues are kind of in that middle of teams that have question marks. So Winnipeg, Minnesota, I would question a little bit. And then I think there's kind of a three that you're like, they're probably not going to be great, which I think that would be Chicago, Arizona, Nashville. I think Nashville is kind of in between things. Obviously, Arizona and Chicago still in a rebuilding phase. I do think Arizona and Chicago will be a little bit better than they were last season, or at least competitive in more games than they may have been last year. So I think the Blues kind of slot in that 3-4-5 range, probably 4 or 5 more likely in terms of where they stack up against the rest of the division. A lot of it's going to be, you know, if they can find different ways to win games, because last season they just gave up way, way, way too many goals, and you can't win like that. And in terms of the rest of the West, I think the Pacific is pretty good at the top. Vegas, LA, Edmonton. I think Calgary is kind of a we'll see team. Mm-hmm. I think Anaheim and San Jose are going to be rebuilders. And then I also think, what are we going to, you know, I don't think Seattle is going to be quite as good as they were last year. And you never know with Vancouver, as I'm sure you know. So, you know, I think the Blues could maybe sneak in with a wild card spot or maybe finish third in the division, but I don't see their ceiling as much higher than that. And there would have to be a lot of things to go right for this team to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Western Conference is not as tough as the East, but it is tough. So, it's going to be interesting battle to see how it all finishes. All right, let's get to our quick fire round. And this is all a bunch of fun questions. A lot of these have been written as articles at the Hockey Writers. So let's start with our one or two breakout stars for the Blues this season.
Well, this is tough, but I did write down Joel Hofer, I think, is a guy that's going to play well. And Jake Neighbors. If Jake Neighbors can score like 15 goals, I would consider that some level of a breakout.
Yeah, that's for sure. He hasn't done it yet, and he's still really young.
Yeah.
All right, a player that needs to bounce back from last season. There's a few, I know, for the Blues.
Yeah, this is tough, but I think a guy that's maybe got something to prove is Torrey Krug. I mean, if he can get back to manning that top power play unit and get some more points going, maybe play a little bit better defensively. I mean, his first season with the Blues wasn't that bad, so if he can find some level of that, I'm not asking him to return to what he did in Boston, but I think Krug is the big one when it comes to bouncing back.
Yeah, he needs to kind of live up to that $6.5 million. I don't know if he has yet.
Yeah.
All right, something that could be an X factor this season. Now, it doesn't have to be a player. It can be something like a power play or something like that.
Well, I wrote special teams. Blues had a horrific penalty kill unit last year and a bad power play. I believe they were top 10 in both categories 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then last year, I believe they were 22nd on the power play and something like 28th or 29th in the penalty kill. So they got a new coach in there to run that. I think it's going to be a little bit of a collaboration between guys and the coaching staff to run this unit because Jim Montgomery did a really good job with it 2 years ago. So they got to find somebody to figure it out this year. And if they have good special teams, again, I think that skyrockets their odds to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely need good special teams to make the playoffs. I don't know if there's one team that's really bad in both that make it. So that's definitely a big thing. All right, let's talk about some rookies. Rookies or prospects that could surprise, make the roster out of training camp?
Yeah, this is a tough question. I think I don't know if the Blues have a lot of names for this, but the one that I threw out there because I think he could be a guy that like produces at a high level in preseason or training camp is Zachary Bolduc, who is the first-round pick of the Blues in 2021. He has been phenomenal in the queue with Quebec. And, I don't know if this is actually going to happen. I think we're probably going to see him play a little bit in the American Hockey League before he gets up to the big leagues. But if he comes in preseason and just scores a ton, I mean, you got to consider it. So I think we'll see him at some point this year. But if there's anybody that's going to surprise to make the roster, I think it's going to be him.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see what he can do in training camp and preseason because he did have a really good season in the QMJHL. So, yeah, excited to see him. All right, a prospect to watch that's in the system. It doesn't have to be a guy that's close to the NHL, but just someone that that fans should watch this season.
Well, this is a guy that had a phenomenal season at Minnesota last year, Jimmy Snuggerud, first-round pick of 2022. Obviously, he's not going to have his line mate Logan Cooley back this year. It looked like it was going to happen, but now it's not. But he was really, really good for Minnesota. He's probably about a year away from being in consideration for the roster, but it wouldn't surprise me to see if the Blues aren't having a great season. I mean, when the college season is over, maybe they consider bringing him in for a little bit. But that's the prospect to watch. I think it's probably either him or Zach Dean's another one that I would watch just because that's a guy that could play really well in the American this year. So, but Snuggerud's the one that jumps off the page for me.
Yeah, Snuggerud's exciting. He's it's going to be interesting to see how he does without Cooley as a centerman, but very skilled forward. All right, who is going to lead the team in scoring at forwards and defense?
So forwards, I think it's Pavel Buchnevich. If he's healthy, he's produced over a point per game for the Blues in both seasons. This is going to be – it's going to go down. It's probably not going to surpass the O'Reilly deal, but it's going to go down as one of Doug Armstrong's best trades because he traded a second-round pick that the Rangers ended up trading to Winnipeg for Adam Lowry, and he traded Sammy Blais, who he's already gotten back for Buchnevich, who he got a four-year deal. I think Buchnevich is only making 5.8. I mean, that's just phenomenal value. He's one of the more underrated wingers in the game. Really, really good in all three zones and is just produces at a super high level. So I think he's probably going to be a guy that puts up 75 to 85 points this year to lead the team. Then on the back end, we'll keep the theme going. Torrey Krug, why not? I mean, I don't really see a guy, maybe other than Justin Falk, that could have more points than Krug. If Krug stays relatively healthy, he's probably going to have 35 to 45 to 50. So there's a lot of noise to Krug this offseason. So the way to respond is to play well on the ice. And I'm very curious to see how he does respond.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has the skill and he's done it before. So there was a reason they paid 6.5 for this guy. So,
yeah.
All right, so let's talk about some trades that could potentially happen. So one player that could be traded before the deadline.
Well, I think this comes down to some of the rental guys. If the season's not going well, and I think Jakub Vrána is a guy that would be the name for me, traded back-to-back years, this would be if he is traded. But he's got 1 year, good contract. If he's producing and the team's not good, I think you got to consider it. I think they would also consider other one-year guys such as Kapanen and a few others. But I think Vrána is the one that kind of jumps out to me in terms of he'd be very tradable if he's having a good year and as a rental. And you could get like probably a second round back for him, depending on how good he is. But that would be the guy that sticks out.
Yeah, that contract's really good. So yeah, you have that. That's even better. So definitely a guy to watch. All right. Fun question to end this show here. One bold prediction or a hot take for the season.
Yeah, so I've already kind of touched on one of them that I had in my bold predictions article because I did write about this. I did say that they would have good special teams. But my other one that I'm going to add here is something that I've kind of alluded to earlier is that I think Hofer will surpass Binnington in the middle of the season, similar in the way that it's not going to be like an outright Binnington is just the absolute backup. It's going to be more like a 1A, 1B thing that they had with Ville Husso 2 years ago. I think Hofer is going to play well enough to start getting more starts at like a 2 or 3 to 1 ratio to Binnington by probably February or January is where I would be for that. So I have high hopes for him and I'll get bold with that prediction.
Yeah. He's definitely has the potential to be a good starter in the NHL. So that'd be ideal for the Blues to have a guy that could usurp Binnington and be better than him, especially for the long-term because Binnington's, he still has a few seasons left in his contract, but it'll be good to have a goaltender that's in the wings to kind of take over. All right. Well, thanks, Ethan, for coming on the show for previewing the St. Louis Blues 2023-24 season. We'll see how it all goes. I mean, they may return to the playoffs or they may be out of it again, but definitely have a good enough team, I think, to compete. It's just like we've said, the defense, I think defense and goaltending are going to be the X factors of see if that actually happens. And of course, scoring more goals.
Too.
All right. Now, before we leave, give everyone your social media where everyone can find your stuff here.
Yeah, obviously you can find my articles, thehockeywriters.com, writing about the Blues. You should also check out the Hockey Writers Substack stuff that we've been doing with all the team Substacks coming out here. I believe we're up to 20 now, so getting close to the final 32. And you can check me out on Twitter at Ethan Carter SW.
All right. Well, make sure checking out the Hockey Writers Substack, like Ethan said, and all the articles, thehockeywriters.com. There's tons of preview stuff out right now, previewing a bunch of the different teams for what's happening. And check that out. And, make sure you're giving this video a like, throw comments in the comment section below. You can answer all those quick fire questions yourself and interact with us in the comment section and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. And until next time, we will see you on another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable.